reports on more than 2 million foals for a low annual cost, then BristNet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at BristNet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile, the APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit BristNet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Believe you can. Winner of the 2012 running in the classic Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks. In full from a February 19 cover to the nation's number one ranked sire. Tappet is hip number 170 selling Monday, November 3 at Phasic Tipton. She's in barn 3. Believe you can won graded stakes at Belmont as a 2-year-old, the Kentucky Oaks at 3, and stakes again at 4. She won 8 of her 14 starts, 6 stakes, and earned $1,280,324. Believe you can is one of two Kentucky Oaks winners by Gone West Top Son, Proud Citizen, and her first four dams are graded stakes producers. She's consigned by her breeder, Braden C. Jones, Airdrie Stud agent. Then it's to Keeneland, where on Friday, November 7th, the same consigner is offering 7 well-bred weanlings raised on the same land that produced Believe You Can. 6 are by Stallion, standing at Airdrie Stud. 2 by Haynesfield, a grade 1 winner and millionaire by Spitestown. 2 by Majestic Perfection, a leading freshman sire with 14 juvenile winners, 2 stakes placed. They were at Santa Anita and at Belmont Park. And 2 from the first crop by grade 1 winner and millionaire Creative Cause. A one-half brother to the graded stakes winner of over $885,000. The second foal out of the Dam of Lindy placed in the Astoria Belmont at 2 this year. Rounding out the consignment is a colt by the multiple graded stakes winner Desert Party by Street Cry. They're in barn 39. For more on the Airdrie Stud consignment, call the farm at 859-873-7270 and see the website at airdriestud.com.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, from the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning. It's been a pretty morning here at the Thoroughbred Center. We're in the clocker stand. We've got a big crowd up here now. We're going to get up a crap game here any second.
Yeah, and that'd be about right.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's now cloudy.
It's clouding up. Actually, it looks I went to the porta potty a few minutes ago.
Oh, thanks for that.
If you look directly over the porta potty out here, you'll see a little clouds. It looks like it's going to rain.
Oh, funny. It's going to rain on the porta potty.
I was in that thing.
We needed that information. I would have been lost.
I was in that thing one day and a lightning struck close by, and you'd think that wasn't traumatic.
Oh,
well, anyway, I won't tell you the results, but we'll go from there.
No.
Well, what are we going to do today? John Nicholson's coming in. Of course, John for many years was the head of the Kentucky Horse Park. He's retired. I think there's something going on that he wants to talk about that maybe he's going to do or thinking about doing or something like that. Anyway, we're going to have
good
John.
Good guess. That would be fun.
Yeah. We've had John on while he was at the horse park, but not since he left. Nice guy. Let's see, Dr. Brian Waldridge will do our vet segment. Of course, he is the vet now at Old Friends, volunteers his time at Old Friends, a nice thing to do. Michael Blowen from Old Friends will be in. Steve Moody from the Kentucky Handicapper Sheep. Make that sheet. I really screwed it up one day.
Careful.
I put an I in there. Anyway, that's published by BRIS, Bloodstock Research Information Services, and he's going to give us the winner of the Fayette Handicap today. Today's the last day of Keeneland. Churchill opens at Manana, and they've got a couple of two-year-old stakes up there tomorrow. We've got Jackie's announcements, going to look at some past winners, the Fayette Handicap. First run in 1959, horse named Terra Firma won it. Terra Firma by Kentucky Colonel, and was bred by Doug Pruitt, I believe that's right. And, of course, Kentucky Colonel stood over at, his son of Balladeer stood over at Patch and Wilkes Farm. They had two sons of Balladeer standing over there. Papa Redbird was the other one. And, of course, Balladeer went to stud there. They had purchased him from Colonel E.R. Bradley. They had a choice between either Balladeer or Blue Larkspur, and they chose Balladeer because he was the younger of the two. And he did very well at stud, but he was no Blue Larkspur. And let's see what else we're going to do. Yeah, I'll probably read something from Joe Palmer or something like that. And, of course, we've got Jackie's announcements. And I guess Michael will be here pretty soon. You never know about Michael. Sooner or later.
Here comes Doc.
Here, Doc coming up? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Jackie, why don't you get it started, get the ball rolling. We'll get Doc on right after that.
All right. Things are slowing down. Once November, December, other than Southern Lights, not a lot goes on at the horse park. It's too cold. Of course, the tourists stay home, those wimpy tourists. Now, nominate now. Get a running start in April. April, two-year-old and training sale at Keeneland. Nominations close Monday, November 3rd. That's next Monday.
You're right.
That's amazing.
Yeah, how about that?
The sale is Monday, April 16th.
Without a calendar.
Preview day. Yeah, well, he's guessing, so it doesn't make a difference. Anyway, if you're going to...
Come on in, Doc.
If you are going to put something in that two-year-old training sale, you got to get on the stick. Tipton October yearling sale. The average was up 5.1% for $35,850, and the median was up 8.8% up to $18,000.
Oh, it's a terrific sale.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it was really good. Mm-hmm. Nothing down there in my range, although a couple bought $1,000. That might have been my range.
That might have.
About to knock off a liquor store or something.
On a good day.
On a good day. All right.
Keeneland and the Red Mile have announced a joint venture to develop a single facility to bring historic racing to Fayette County. That's those slots.
Yeah.
The instant racing slots.
They're going to have them at the Red Mile with 1,000 slot machines. Terminals, my
instant
foot.
If it terminal.
Walks like a duck and quacks like a duck. It's a projected opening date of September 2015. Also, they're going to go ahead and build that racetrack in Corbin.
Corbin, is that right? Is that right, Matt? For quarter horse
Matt
track?
Matt knows that good stuff.
Yeah, he keeps up with his quarter horse crap.
Okay, you want to come back to me later since Doc is here?
Good morning.
Morning.
Dr. Brian Waldridge this morning, and he has got suckered into treating all those things over to old friends for free. How'd he talk you into that, Brian?
Oh, it's a lot of fun, and I'm close, and I just enjoy it so much going out there. So
we went out last Sunday and looked at the two new horses, the two big horses.
What'd you think?
Well, you know, the game on dude, yeah. He was, he's quiet, isn't he? But
yes,
you know,
sir.
You'd never pick him out in a crowd.
No, you wouldn't.
No.
He's a really calm, really pleasant horse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, really nice.
But you know,
a great big hug, just so I can say that I gave a great big hug to Game On Dude. He's fine. He just smiled.
Yeah, and I picked up, you know, he let me pick up his foot because, you know, Michael was talking about how small his feet were. Well, they're a little on the small side, but I've seen, you know, it's not that bad. But he's not a big, robust horse himself, you know. I'm like I say, you know. You know, he reminded me of kind of the horse that trained out here. We got his picture up here winning the...
Rahi Strada.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't very big and robust.
He was. You would never pick him out in a crowd, you know. And of course, he won over $1 million.
Yes,
he was a nice scooter. Hughes had him. He used to back up here, and he'd stand.
Uh-huh.
And they could, you know, I mean, they had to let him stand. He'd stand 15, 20 minutes,
uh-huh.
You know, and he'd get ticked off if they tried to make him go, you know. Had that Irish rider on, Benji.
Mm-hmm.
Benji says he's a freelancer's nightmare, he said. Could ride five horses while he was just galloping that horse. But once he got going, man, he was into it, you know. And Scooter, that horse they're talking about, somebody was telling me, is it Demerick? Yeah, a guy named Demerick at got a training center somewhere.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, he broke him. And
Rahi Strada.
Yeah, broke Rahi Strada. And Nick Demerick, I think, is his name. And they were telling him that they might be going to send him to him. They had him pensioned out. Robert Courtney did, and they had him pensioned out, and but they say he's not too happy. He wants to do something,
so
to send him over there and make a lead pony out,
yes.
You know, a pony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of these old horses, you know, were happier with a job. I think,
yes, sir.
Yeah. Don't tell Michael I said that. But I bet you Game On Dude would be too.
I don't know. Never know.
It just depends on the individual.
Amazombie's got a different.
Pardon?
Amazombie is not that laid back.
Oh, he'll bite you if you don't watch him.
Yeah.
Well, he's a big horse, isn't he?
He is really big. They're
got
both
a big
really
left
fit.
Front too.
Huh?
They both still look really fit.
Well, yeah, they're right.
A couple weeks.
Yeah. What does he stand? Do you know, Amazombie?
He's tall, but Nuster don't know.
Yeah. He's big, big-bodied horse too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were going to pick a horse out, I say now, which one of these horses is win? You know, $6 million or whatever, right. You'd pick him.
Yes, sir. For sure.
Rather than the other horse, who would probably pull a wagon and outrun him. Going two turns, for sure.
Yeah, remember that Herb Jones had a horse for Governor Jones?
Yeah.
And they were in our barn, and you'd walk past her. I think she won the Oaks. Did she win something? Why, no. He was lieutenant governor, and he won the lieutenant governor stakes.
Well, they're down at Ellis
Farm. Fella, yeah. Herb was great.
Wasn't in our barn, though. We took a horse down to his barn at Ellis Park. Don't you remember?
Yeah, I remember when we were up there in that barn and he first got that horse because I went down and took a look.
Oh, yeah, but he was down in the barn that's wasn't our barn, though. We were in 15. I'm trying to straighten it out here.
I know.
I've been working on it for 32 years. I haven't got it out.
And he's wrong. I mean, it's just amazing. Anyway, I walked down to see her because, you know, she was something. Wouldn't have picked her out in a crowd either.
What was her name? Do you remember By Land, By Sea, By Sea, By something?
Yeah. By Land, By Sea, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Herb won a couple of stakes with her and they sold her. And she ended up winning grade one stakes out in California. You know, Burry, boy, he'll sell them.
He knows where to go.
Yeah, he's selling.
Believe You Can.
Believe You Can, you know.
Yes, sir.
His Oaks winner.
Yeah. That
one. Spinful to tap it. Have you looked at that catalog, Brian?
I'm just hearing what's in there.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable.
There's some incredible mares in there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the only problem is there may not be enough money to buy.
I know I'm out.
Well, yeah, hey, I wouldn't go out there and bid $1 million and be a big shot. Yeah, I'll tell you, it'll be $1 million.
I wanted to go, but they probably
won't. Not lucky, knock it down.
They probably won't let
somebody pull the fire alarm, and then you'd be in trouble.
Oh, yeah. They need a fire alarm to catch me. But then, well, let me do a catch up on my commercials here, and then we will. Get you on, see what you want to talk about today. You got something all picked out?
I do, yes, sir.
Oh, well, good. Well, last Saturday, Keeneland, the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run Stakes was won by Terrace, a 3-year-old filly by Flatter. Terrace dominated the field. It was 11 of them. She won by 9 lengths, posted fractions of 22-2, 44-4, 108-4, and 121-1. She's bred by Claven Farm and Adele Dill Snyder and sold for $90,000 as a yearling out of Keeneland. Terrace has won 3 of her 4 career starts. Broke her maiden at Aqueduct and her only started 2 by over 11 lengths and won the Wide Country Stakes at Laurel in her first start this year. She's one of 10 2014 stakes winners by Flatter. And did you see that first time starter by Blame win her debut at Gulfstream on October 18th? I hope I can pronounce it. It's Al Kazalia. Broke dead last in a field of 11, circled the field, and won going away by 3 lengths to become the 6th first crop winner by Blame. The win was at a mile and a 16th, and like her sire, distance is going to be no problem. Yeah. Breeders' Cup Classic winner Blame, like Flatter, stands at Claven Farm. For more on the Claven stands, call Bernie Sams, 859-233-4252, and see the website at ClavenFarm.com.
It's a comforting feeling to do business with people you trust, especially when it comes to insurance. When we moved to Bourbon County, friends recommended the Hopewell Company and the First Presbyterian Church, and that was like 26 at least years ago. They've been taking care of our insurance needs ever since. Hopewell Company has extensive experience working with horse farms and racing stables. Ted McLean, it's Joe and Ted McLean. Ted used to train. He trained in Secretariat's barn. How's that?
Yeah, it was assistant to Lucian Lauren when Secretariat.
Yeah, so he knows all about horse farms and racing stables. Also, they cover our house, barn, vehicles, horse trailer, plus liability. Been right there whenever we needed them, as like the time we got struck by lightning and they came and every wire was singed. They came that day and hot wired the furnace, the refrigerator, and the hot water heater, maybe the stove. And then they came the next day and started, you know, replacing everything.
Ripping out walls.
They're wonderful. They're an independent insurance agency. That means they work for us, not the insurance companies. So they find the best coverage and most competitive prices from financially sound, reputable insurers. Contact Hopewell Company that will give you a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. Hopewell Company, 820 South Main in Paris, 987-2347, or in Lexington, 254-2431. You get great service. We guarantee it.
Well, all these sales coming up, you better think about insurance on your purchases, and I would recommend you get in touch with the Clay Ward Agency over in Paris, Kentucky. They've been in business since 1931. That's, what, 83 years ago, according to my Russell Cave School math. And it's a great organization. They've got people to call over. Get in touch with Shaq Parrish or Bruce Isaacs or John Hess, and they'll take care of you. They've people that you can just absolutely trust and to do the right job for you. They've established a tradition of hard work and service and a thorough knowledge of the horse business over there and a reputation for, you know, just being best people in the world to do business with. And that's Shaq and Bruce and John. Just call any one of the three. They'd be glad to take care of you. Number over there is in Paris, Kentucky. It's an 859 number. It's 987-1861. So go over there and get ready. They can sure, I'm sure, at the drop of a hammer for you. And you'll be glad you did business with them. They're closely affiliated, incidentally, with Indian Creek Farm. And Indian Creek, you know, they've got a reputation for selling quality bloodstock. And, of course, they've got a consignment, as they always do, at the Keeneland Breeding Stock Sale. Starting off with two weanling fillies by Warfront and Arch. Now, there's a couple of winners for you. The Warfront's the first foal out of Leroy DeSantamo's half-sister. She's by Giant's Causeway. And the Arch filly's out of a young stakes winner and Greatest Stakes Place Mariner in Barn 14. And so stop by and see them in Barn 14 when they open up over there. Following that, they've got assignment coming on Friday, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but they've got weanings by some absolutely top horses. Plus, they've got seven young, well-bred mares, and I mean young. The oldest one's just seven, and they're all in foal. Horses like Bodemeister and Lemon Drop Kid and Painter and Animal Kingdom. So thing to do is to stop by and when the sale opens over there or at Barn 14, and you can go from there. That's Indian Creek Farm at the sales, and to ensure your purchases, the Clay Ward Agency, and here's their number, 859-987-1861. You take this with you. All righty. Well, I've got Dr. Brian Waldridge with me this morning, and he does our vet segment, and I never know what he's going to talk about when he walks in here, but we'll find out. Brian, have at it, my friend. What are we talking about this morning?
It's fall, so everybody usually deworms in the fall, so I thought deworming would be a good topic today.
Okay.
Most times in the fall, we'll give something that'll get bots once we get a good frost, so we can hopefully horses won't overcarry those bot larvae into the spring.
Yeah.
And it usually gives something for tapeworms. You don't see a whole lot of tapeworms in horses, but they can be a problem. They can cause the gut to, in a susceptor, kind of pulls into itself and can cause them to obstruct and need surgery a lot of times to resolve that. Sometimes I resolve on its own. So usually you get a drug that'll get tapeworms, which if you look on the label, it'll be praziquantel that'll get that.
Yeah.
So I like to recommend people use like a ivermectin or amoxidectin and praziquantel this time of year. And that does a good job also cleaning out the horse. So hopefully won't go into winter carrying any worms.
Yeah.
What about ivermectin gold? What's the difference between ivermectin and ivermectin gold?
So the gold has that praziquantel, that drug that'll get tapeworms.
So that's what you want is the gold.
The gold. I recommend ivermectin gold.
Yeah,
they'll
okay.
get tapes because they'll get tapes for you. And then the Quest Plus. That plus is the praziquantel, so both those are good products too.
All right,
you know, that's a great one of the greatest inventions, I think, was when they the oral paste that they give you in that.
Oh yes, sir.
The tube of those suckers.
Oof.
I grew up with the Spy Songs, and they were all inbred to Hastings. And I tell you what, they were tough.
Oh, I can remember doing an entire, well, we had a farm one time had tapeworms. The horse died and at necropsy found tapeworms. And you can also double dose strontium type products and that'll kill tapeworms.
Well, so, strontium in the summer, right? When the, you're going after bots.
Well, the things that get bots that we have right now be either ivermectin or moxidectin.
Okay. Good.
So
we didn't have many bots this year. I didn't see, you know, sometimes you'll see legs with just loaded with little eggs.
I didn't see many this year. Have you noticed it?
We didn't have many of my horses, but and I didn't see many out of old friends, but at out of KR in our herd, even though we'd do worm for them, we could even see the females laying eggs on
You're
those horses.
Kidding.
So I think it just kind of just depends some areas. But they came out early this year, at least in Versailles.
Is that right? We live in Bourbon County.
So maybe they all blew south.
I don't know.
So, because it's a little bit unusual to see those females out laying eggs. You don't see them too often.
Well, that's probably true. Now, these old horses you're taking care of over there, it doesn't make any difference what you give them, the amounts you give them, or you know the dosage that you give them, or anything like that.
The wormers are pretty safe. The one that's probably the tightest is the moxidectin and Quest. You can give five times the label dose before you run into toxicity problems.
Is that right?
And ivermectin's 20 times probably safe. Yeah. And things like Panacure, even 100 times. Those are really safe. So we have a pretty wide range of safety.
Yeah.
You know, and you can use those products in foals, but I think it's just important to take a syringe like you give an injection with, draw up their dose, put that in your syringe, and then give that syringe to the foal so you don't accidentally give the whole tube if you had a smaller foal.
Yeah, right.
Because that's where a lot of toxicity you hear about, things like foals and minis, but usually it's just where the tube accidentally gets, the whole tube gets given.
Yeah. Well, how old should you start worming foals?
Well, usually if you're going after roundworms, like sometimes you see foals, because what roundworms do is they have part of their stage of their maturity, they go through the lungs.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes you see pneumonia in younger foals because of that worm going through causing some pneumonia.
Is that right?
So if you're going to do those, sometimes around 3 or 4 months you might start. So I usually say somewhere in that 3 to 4 month range.
Yeah.
You can go ahead get those roundworms.
3 to 4 months, that's running up on pretty near on weaning time.
Yes, sir. I like to get them, you know, while they're still on the mare, get close to weaning.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Morning, Michael.
Morning, Ursula. Morning, Brian.
Morning, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
How are you this morning?
Good, I'm good.
Yeah.
Couldn't have been better, actually.
Went over and looked at your horse. Well, you showed him to me.
Yeah.
And Mike Warren said he went over and looked at him.
Yeah, it's amazing who's showing up now that we have a good horse, right, Brian?
Deadbeat.
Yeah. Amazing where a good horse will take you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and NBC came on Friday.
That no bloody count.
What do you say? Is that Kentucky for something? I don't know. I don't know what that is. Something.
Yeah, right.
NBC came to do a feature on aftercare, and they're going to air it during the Breeders' Cup coverage.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what kind of coverage? Wow.
It's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Did they on a Friday or Saturday? Did they say
Saturday?
Saturday.
Prime time. What do you think?
Are you in it?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't want to say that because it might destroy the whatever ratings.
Brian, did you know he was in the movies?
Yeah, Brian was there.
Oh, he told me. What movie did you tell me yesterday that you were in? I didn't.
Seabiscuit.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't know
big
that.
Big fat face is on the whole screen.
Yeah.
I have to go back and rewatch
Seabiscuit. I played myself in an episode of Homicide: Life on the Street. You know?
Did you?
Yeah, I got murdered by the movie theater owner for ruining the movies on everybody. And Diane, my wife, played a disgruntled patron. She did it in one take. She gave me a dirty look. One take, that's all it took.
Well, you know, she's born to the role.
It's a natural look, probably.
Now, obviously, that career didn't work out that well.
Well, he played himself in Seabiscuit, too. He was tearing up losing tickets.
Yeah, that's true.
For me, that'd be like ripping a phone book lately.
Yeah, right. Amen.
More typecasting.
Yeah.
But I would, yeah. Well, there was a lot of good people in Seabiscuit. It was quite a supporting cast.
I want to tell you, I finally got around to reading your new magazine.
Oh, yeah.
This is your best one.
Yeah, they did a great job.
Well,
GPTR did a great job.
The article in there by Jay Hoveday, oh, he's a good writer.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know. And then you did a real good job writing about Doc.
Oh, thanks.
I talked about it.
That means a lot.
It was really good, you know.
Well, and when you said that you had gone to a football hall of fame and didn't see a single football player.
Yeah.
And that was wonderful. That's the truth, because you can go out here and see Hall of Fame everywhere, and there they are.
Yeah, it is amazing. It's amazing. And, you know, Brian can speak to this better than I can, but Game On Dude's doing really well. Yeah. He's really a cool horse. It's really cool. Well, I understand now why they were reluctant to, you know, why they were looking for someplace closer to home, I think, because he's just lovable. I mean, it's not just that he made all this money and won all these races. I mean, this horse is lovable.
Yeah. Brian and I were talking about it earlier. You know, if you showed him to somebody didn't know him, said, now one of these horses won, what did he win, $6 million or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Almost six and a half. He's like 10,000 short of six and a half.
Which, yeah, he and the other horse, Amazombie, mm-hmm. I said, which one of those won the most money? Everybody would pick Amazombie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Because he just doesn't stand out at all, does he?
No, Mike Smithy says he doesn't stand out until he's in the gate, and those gates open, and all of a sudden he puffs up to three times the size, and off he goes, and you go, it's just so astounding. And yeah. Chantel Sutherland, who wrote him a bunch of times too, they both say the same thing. You know, when he's heading for home, he put his head down, and found another gear, and he started going faster. I mean, well, it's just unbelievable.
He started heading for home right out of the gate.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd go right to the front, you know. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I love a front runner.
Well, he's very smart. He's very aware of things. He's been going out in the round pen lately, and he's got his ears perked up all the time and looking around, checking out Rapid Redux and seeing what's going on and picking out his spot. So when he comes out, he'll be able to go out, I think, on Wednesday or Thursday if the weather's good, go out to the larger paddock. So
I love a front runner.
Yeah.
As my daddy told me once, they've been where the others ain't.
Yeah. You know?
So
that's true.
Yeah.
And with the way the track biases are now, you got to have horses got some speed.
And he could, you know, mile and a quarter.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Only horse to win the Santita Handicap three times.
Geez, that's something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And they, you know what, and they decided to retire him at the right time, too. I mean, he finished fourth in the last Santa Handicap, but he didn't have the same kind of verve that he usually had. I mean, he could have certainly won a lot more money for them, and they decided not to push it at all, just retire him with all the dignity that they possibly could.
So. I didn't, Doc, I don't believe he had a pimple on him, did he? For his soundness.
He looks awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if he did have small feet.
That's right. Yeah, he does have small feet. I guess that doesn't. I have big feet and I'm slow, so there you go.
Run fast at all.
Let me do this. Keeneland's November breeding stock sale starts on November 4, and in the catalogs, you'll find weanings by mares and foals to the covers of First Defense and Mizzen Mast. First Defense is the sire of, and his first crop, the brilliant Close Hatches. Winner this year, the Grade 1 Apple Blossom, the Grade 1 Ogden Phipps, the Grade 1 Personal Ensign, and the Grade 2 Azari. Close Hatches is one of the likely favorites for the upcoming, probably the favorite, upcoming Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Distaff. She has also won the Grade 1 Mother Goose, the Grade 1 Cotillion, the Grade 2 Gazelle, and over $2,707,000. Mizzen Mast has sired seven Grade 1 stakes winners, two this year. The most recent, the two-year-old colt, Full Mast, undefeated winner of the Group 1 Grand Criterium at Longchamp. He also sired the winners of three Breeders' Cup races. A weanling, or mare, and foal to either, First Defense or Mizzen Mast should be a good investment. Take a look. For more information, get in touch with Garrett O'Rourke or Ern Fry and see the website at judmont.com. Sally Van Service.
Sally Van.
No, do them again.
No, you didn't. You did. You did Hopewell Insurance.
Yeah, I did Hopewell. You're right.
Boy, she's more help around here. You know that.
Do them again anyway. They're unbelievable. They brought Game On Dude over.
They brought Amazombie over. They brought everybody over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are we all ready for me to do a Sally Van Service?
I'm sorry.
You want to do it, Michael?
No, you do.
Well, go ahead. You were talking about them bringing Game On Dude over.
It's unbelievable. You know, they have these great drivers that know what they're doing, that know how to handle horses. You know, they brought horses to us, you know, from Suffolk Downs and all over the country just to retire them, and they've never sent us a bill. I mean, they're just unbelievable, and the horses arrive in fabulous condition. Because of the drivers, because the vans are always really, really clean. They've got a lot of hay in there and a a lot of straw, and the horses looked really comfortable. It was really cool, actually. I was driving over with them when they brought Game On Dude and Amazon being in the back, and they got the little monitor in the front so you could watch them. And the horses looking out the window, checking it out. They thought they were on Amtrak, you know. But anyway, they just did a wonderful job. No muss, no fuss. Here come the horses off the trailer. Put them on the trailer. Just real easy going and very relaxed. And I think that that kind of
handling, they catch that from their handlers.
Really, really transfers to the horse. Yep.
Yeah, so that's really neat.
Can't say enough good things about it. They have a full page ad in the new Daily Racing Form Old Friends magazine, available for $10 in our fabulous gift shop.
Well, anyway, the owner of Sally,
it's got the phone number in it,
is Nicole Pirat, and she's got a great pedigree.
Yes, she does. Yes,
she does.
I ran into her uncle Bill the other day, or her cousin Bill.
Okay.
At the track.
Yeah. Is that a Nicole's?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I knew her best of all from that family. I knew her great granddaddy. Of course, I knew her grandfather. I knew her daddy, her grandfather, and her great grandfather.
Wow. So you must have been in school with your great grandfather, second, third grade?
Oh, actually, I was ahead of him. All right, moving right along. If you want a top flight job hauling your horses, well, Sally Van Service is one. Let me give you their number over there. It's 255-9640, and the website is sallyhorsevans.com. SalleHorseVans.com. Great people. As they say, the safest way to the winner's circle is with a Sally van. Well, the first foals by Bodemeister and Gemologist are weanlings, and both are well represented at the upcoming breeding stock sales at Fasey Tipton and at Keeneland. Bodemeister is a Grade 1 stakes winner and a millionaire by Empire Maker, the sire also pioneered the Nile, the nation's number one ranked second crop sire, and a stablemate of Bodemeister at Windstar Farm. Bodemeister won the Grade 1 $1 million Arkansas Derby by 9.5 lengths. Then in his next start, set historic fractions of 45-1, 109-4 in the Kentucky Derby, holding on with courage to finish second. Also second in the Grade 1 Preakness, he retired with earnings of $1,304,800. Gemologist is a Grade 1 winner by Hall of Famer and Sire of Sires Tisnow, yet another Windstar stay. Gemologist was undefeated at 2 when the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes that year, came back at 3 to win the Grade 1 Wood. He won 5 of his 7 races and over $794,000. Tisnow, of course, ranks among the top 10 among all active sires on this year's North American Sire List. And his Grade 1 winner, Colonel John, another Windstar stallion, is the third-ranked second-crop sire at stud in North America. For more information, get in touch with Darren Fox or Sean Tugel or Kyle Wilson. Number over at Windstar is 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, Michael, I see you've already latched on to my Sunday racing form.
Get ready for the last day at Keeneland today.
Last day at Keeneland.
And then Breeders' Cup on Friday and Saturday. So that's going to be an exciting week.
Why, it doesn't seem like it's that time for the Breeders' Cup, does it? I mean, it's
next week?
Yeah.
Yeah, next Friday.
Unbelievable.
Next Saturday.
Friday and Saturday.
We're having a get-together over at the training center here at the building with the simulcast, 6:30, the Friday night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So anybody wants to come, we're going to bring some of Bobby Frankel's Breeders' Cup trophies over and put them on display and sell some of the magazines and have some fun.
Yeah, Mark Otto was supposed to drop in here today, and where is he?
He had to go back to, I don't know, he's in Chicago or Detroit or one of those.
He travels a lot.
Yes, he does.
What's the name of those fences he sells?
What? Red Brand Fence.
Red Brand Fence.
V-mesh fence. It's fabulous. He just replaced a whole bunch of that fence over at Claiborne that got hit by the tornado.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. That thing just missed us. Quarter of a mile.
Yeah.
Took the roof off a barn.
Boy, I tell you, that'll send you back to church. I tell you.
It sent me back to the bar.
Yeah, right. Well, maybe it'll be with Communion Sunday or something.
Yeah, that's it, something like that.
There you go. but it hit that farm right, Greenwood Lodge right next to us. You know.
Really?
Yeah, tore.
Oh, my goodness.
Tore the heck out of one of their barns. Went through Johnny Ward's, but it must have missed Johnny's house by about What, Jackie? 100 yards?
Yeah. Got it. It's like trees around the front.
You got some trees and so forth. I don't think it did any job. That's a wonderful house John lives in there. You ever been in there?
No.
No, it's, you know, it dates way back.
Yeah.
And they've done a marvelous job of remodeling it, you know. It's a all this over.
Well, that was a scary night. It was. We got hail. I mean, I've never been in a hailstorm quite like that. In fact, we had two hailstorms.
Yeah. We just had little, you know, Jack and I sat there like a couple of dum-dums watching TV.
We didn't know it was bad.
You know.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah.
That was the first night that Game On did. You know, Amazon we had been
there. Yeah,
into.
I remember that.
That was a little bit of a long night for everybody.
Yeah. Were you over there, Doc?
Well, no, it was 15 minutes on the farm. I just kept waiting.
He called me.
I was getting texts from people wanting to know how they were.
I said, I've just been out there getting bombarded by the hail. I got in there and it was so loud you couldn't hear yourself think. And just eating their hay, just
on that tin roof.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, of course they're used to the crowds and stuff.
Eating the hay, and I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, there's like nothing. They weren't like looking out the, you know, trying to look out the window. They weren't skittish at all. They were just eating their hay.
When did they come out of quarantine?
Wednesday this week.
This week.
Yes, sir.
How long did it take?
Wednesday, pending the approval of Dr. Waldridge.
We used to do it 21 days. That's plenty of time for them to get acclimated and for anything to pop up.
Like Ebola or something, you know.
I'm always afraid to even say that word. We might get drug in the quarantine ourselves.
I wouldn't want to get quarantined in the Clockerton here.
You know, the dog, the nurse from Texas, her dog's in quarantine for
you got to be kidding.
Oh, no, and then there's a...
It's all free, though.
It is. And I saw that today. They've got
the dog tested free.
He's free. And then somebody else, I think it was in Spain, a nurse that got exposed, they put her dog down.
Oh, for God's sakes. And they didn't even give it 21 days?
No, they just put it down. So there's no evidence that animals get Ebola.
Well, I wouldn't think so.
It's just an interesting side story.
Yeah.
No Ebola in horses.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. Unless you can come up with a vaccination for it or something.
Well, there is a drug. You know, the drug's made from tobacco.
Yeah, Kentucky Burley.
So that's...
Man, it's gonna come back in style, tobacco.
You know, what goes around comes around. I don't know.
Well, you know, that's most of these laws that they pass, you get unintended consequences anyway, and that's... You know, now they're all looking for something to cure the Ebola, and they put all these farmers out of business. Oh, well.
Goes in cycles.
Yeah.
Today is the last day at Keeneland. Is it the steeplechase?
Do they have a steeplechase today? They're not running it today?
I don't think so.
Well, look at the last race.
I'll check.
Yeah,
I thought they did. I thought they had
the last used thing. To. They ran a, I think it was graded, too. Be the last race.
Yeah, I'm looking at.
Yeah.
He's spitting on your...
It's maidens on the grass.
Maidens on the grass?
Oh, mm-hmm. Be darned.
No, I don't think they do stupid. They haven't done it in a long time.
Well.
The Miss Fayette's a feature today. Mile and eighth.
Well, huh.
Grade two.
Yeah.
This should be a good race.
Yeah.
Departing's in it.
Terra Firma won the first one. You know?
Oh, yeah? Well, I'll check my tickets.
Yeah.
I'll check my tickets. They were printed when Ursa went, they were on parchment.
No, we had bookies. Oh, God. That was funny. But anyway, that there have been some good ones winning that thing, though. A couple of mares. Sure. Yeah.
There's a horse running today. Kieran McLaughlin's horse has a good shot. And you're Long River, too. Long River's a nice horse. Had the lead coming down, just turning for home in the Jockey Club Gold Cup against Tonalist at 52-1 and just got beat by Zeebo and Tonalist. And they're off to the Breeders' Cup. And Long River's here.
Yeah, Long River's here. Huh?
So he could be. And Rosie's staying here to ride him. It's a really nice, well.
What's Long
horse.
River by?
AP Indy out of Round Pond.
Well,
pretty good.
Got a license to run.
You are doing a joint promotion or something with Rerun.
Yeah, that's really good. We sent a couple of horses to Lisa Malloy over at Rerun.
She's in Virginia, right?
Mm-hmm. And she's really good with it. So the horses that can go on to other careers and need to be reassessed up near New York, we'll go to Lisa, and we sent Lusty Latin, a horse who ran in a Derby many years ago, over to
over to Anna Ford over at New Vocations. He went out day before yesterday, so he's going to get retrained too. Got to make some room for some of these others.
Well, Game On Dude is nice and sound. He'd probably
do. I'll take him.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, can you imagine?
Ty Watt over here, well, doesn't want to get rid of his drawing card.
They'll hang me. I'll get hung. And nobody will care. Not even Diane. Hang
well, she would care
guy.
Anyway, would she?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Let me interrupt you. I got to catch up.
Oh, more ads.
Hang on. I'll let you do
you
my
need
clue.
Any help with any of them? Okay, I'll do the
Two winners of Breeders' Cup races stand at Shadwell Farm, Albertus Maximus and Invisor. Albertus Maximus won the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. The Grade 1 Don Handicap, of course, that's a Gulfstream, set a new track record for a mile in Del Mar's Windy Sands Handicap, placed in three other graded stakes, including Grade 1 Goodwood. Retired with earnings of $1,328,230. First foals are yearlings this year. Invisor won the Grade 1 $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic, defeating a field that included Bernardini and Premium Tap and Giacomo and Brother Derek and George Washington and Lava Man and Perfect Grip and Loy Ron and Flower Alley. And that's enough, isn't it? There were some others. He won 9 Grade 1 stakes, was Horse of the Year on 2 continents, Horse of the World as a 4-year-old, and he earned $7,804,070. Invisor is the sire of nearly 10% stakes horses from starters and of numerous hard-hitting winners from coast to coast. For more on the stallions over at Shadwell Farm, get in touch with Kent Barnes. He's the stallion manager there at 859-224-4585 and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Quillen Leather and Tack, are they promoting, Jackie, you said they're promoting their belts?
Yes.
This year? I mean, this week? Are they discounted or what?
I don't know.
Come on in, John. Pardon?
Hey, come in.
Are they discounting them? Do you know?
I don't know.
You don't know?
They're selling them.
Just selling them? Well, they know they're selling them because I'm wearing one right now. You've got one of their belts,
yes,
haven't you?
Yes, I do.
You have one, Doc?
I have one.
Yes, sir.
Okay, everybody's got them. We've all got our pants
we're,
up here.
We're going to be selling some Quillen belts with Game On Dude's name on them.
Oh, there you go.
Well.
Excellent idea.
What's your size? We'll give you a discount. Tell Ralph.
I think I'm too old to be wearing a belt with Game On Dude on it.
We'll put a comma after the on. Game
I don't
on
know how game
dude.
This dude is. Anyway, it's a great tack shop, and it's over in Paris, Kentucky. And let me tell you how to get there. You go out the Paris Pike into Paris. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? And you go to the third stoplight and look on your left, and there you are. It's a great little tack shop and a great gift shop there.
And if you get lost, if you go past that, you keep going down into Paris, you'll run into Ralph's beer joint.
Yeah.
Rooster Brew.
They sell over 100 different kinds of beer there. So you can go in there, you can start out with one. No, you start out with 103, I think, and you can start going to 102 bottles of beer on the wall, you know, and keep going till you pass out.
That sounds like a blast. Holy cow, I can't wait to do that.
It would take about one beer for me, I think.
But the beer is fabulous. I can speak from personal experience. And he's going to do an old friend's beer in next year.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Is he going to age it?
He should, don't you think? I hope not as old as some of our horses. I can't wait that long.
Well, that's Quillen Leather and Tack and Rooster Brewery,
yes,
in Paris, Kentucky. All right, the first foals will stay thirsty in Weanlings, and he is well represented at both the Keeneland November sale and the Fasey Tipton sale. And the breeding stock sales, of course. The Stay Thirsty is one of the most versatile sons of the outstanding sire Bernardini. He won a distance from 6 to 10 furlongs, won historic Grade 1 Travers, the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, the Grade 2 Jim Dandy, the Grade 3 Gotham, placed in the classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, ran twice he placed in the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup, and also in the Grade 1 Hopeful, retiring with earnings of $1,336,000 and some change. He posted 109 bar in the Cigar Mile as a 4-year-old, and that was the fastest bar of any member of his crowd at that year. Bernardini's stud fee climbed to $100,000 this year, and Stay Thirsty's Dam, a daughter of Stormbird, and classic place to make charge. The stakes went over $836,000. It produced 3 stakes winners, 2 graded stakes winners. So take a good look at the Stay Thirsty weanings. You're going to like what you see, and for more on the stallions over at Ashford Stud, call the farm at 859-873-7088. and see the website at coolmore.com. All right, well, what's your next promotion, my friend?
Well, we're open for business. Hope people come by and visit some of these horses, especially after Wednesday when Game on Dude comes out.
Well, I've already seen them, so I don't have to go back, do I?
Not if you don't want to. It's up to you. You get special privileges.
I do it.
Yes.
What is that? You don't hit me up for a tie. Don't put the touch on me when I come over anymore.
No, I got tired of that.
Well, listen, you work a pretty good angle.
Oh, my God. It was like working an empty gold mine.
Well, that's you know what all this started out, Doc? He had a birthday party for me. I didn't know it was a surprise party. Birthday party for me. Over at, what was the name?
Black
Tulip. And he had, you know, I just thought it was another promotion thing. So I write a check out, you know, and I find out, you know, after I've dropped $100 in the damn can there, that it's for my birthday. And I said, so I'm the first guy to ever got to hustle for $100 at my own birthday party.
That was a surprise.
That was a surprise. How do you spell shock?
We didn't tell Moose the birthday party until after you deposited the check.
I know. Well, that was the first thing you saw when you walk in. Whenever you go over to old friends, there's a place there to drop the money, you know. I mean,
I have a great idea. Now, this is the best fundraising idea I've ever had.
You bring your gun? Is that it?
Can we have a drum roll, please? You know, when you bet the future book for the Kentucky Derby,
yeah,
on the machines, it prints out a ticket and has $2 to win on it. It has the name of the horse.
Yeah.
Well, I want to do that at Old Friends for souvenirs.
Okay.
So we could have the names of our horses. Like, I bet $2 on Little Silver Charm today at Old Friends.
Mm-hmm.
And people put the money in the machine and they get the souvenir ticket. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got the approval of the grand gentleman of all racing.
Well, I don't know about that. Take away the grand. Take away the gentleman.
Yeah.
All right.
Everything else is going well. We've had a lot of really, really nice visitors, and I think this piece on NBC is going to come out really nice on Saturday, so we're very excited about that.
Yeah.
It's really great that the networks and a lot of the racing people are starting to take a real serious long-term interest in aftercare, and not just us, but, you know, Jeannie Mirabito over at our MIMS, and as they say, Rerun and New Vocations and everybody. The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance has done a tremendous job of
getting money. Boy, it certainly has improved.
Yes, it has. Yeah. So they've done a remarkable job.
Well, you had a lot to do with that, Michael.
Well, I don't know about that, but
well, of course
whatever it is, it was teamwork, and everybody, you know, chipping in to do whatever they could to make sure that we had more space and more money to take care of more horses.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
That is great.
And now we've got people calling us like Bob Baffert, Joe Torre.
Yeah. Shake them loose.
Yeah, really? Really? Oh, this is really. So, Bob, the other day we got a package in the mail. Bob sent him a brand new blanket, a brand new tack box, brand new polos, brand new this, brand new that.
You should have told him he's just a horse now. He's going to be turned out.
Yeah.
Yeah, damn right. I think all that stuff's going to be on eBay, I'm sure.
Well, we had his last four shoes. We pulled his pulled his shoes off.
You're going to have them mounted or something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little brass
nameplate. Yeah, we've got to start raising money for the winter.
Yeah.
Got to get the hay barn filled up and all that.
Have you hustled Matt Howard over
there? Yeah, I ran to him last week. I still got his wagon. I said, well, if you want your wagon, I'll bring it over. But, you know.
Yeah, you got to fill it up and pull it back.
Well, he's probably all excited today because Kansas State's playing Texas.
Yeah. Boy, I got all over him today. He was over here. You know, they won that last game. They beat Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Guy missed a chip shot right at the end of the game. He won the game for Oklahoma.
He's probably got Matt's cell phone number. Probably work something out.
All righty. I'm going to let you two guys go.
Which one of these racing forms can I have?
Not the Saturday.
Okay. All right. Here.
I need that.
All right. I'll take the Sunday one then, all right?
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You're a very generous human being.
Yeah.
The Lord will look kindly on you when the time comes.
If he's a gambling man.
See you later.
All right. Thanks, Doc, for coming in.
That's
been Dr. Brian Walridge and, of course, Michael Bluen. Well, the first floor is by Dominus of Weanlings, and opportunities will arise for you to see some at the Keenan November sale. Take a good look, because Dominus was a runner. Won the Grade 2 Dwyer. That was just his fourth career start. And he won the Grade 2 Bernard Baruch in his first start on grass. He also sprinted 7 furlongs and won 22-3 to win by over 5 lengths at Santa Anita. And he won 22-2 to win by over 4 lengths at Saratoga. Dominus is one of over 100 stakes winners by champion sire Smart Strike. And he's out of the graded stakes mare Quandro by Lord at War. Stands at Spendthrift Farm, and he's eligible for their popular Breed Secure program. You breed, you sell, and if you don't make a profit, you don't pay. Now, you can't beat that. Also eligible for the Breed Secure program are the stallions Arch, 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 Awesome Patriot, Liaison, Dine of David, Patio Prada, and Temple City. Of course, Temple City's first cropper. Man, they're flat running. Just call the farm and talk to Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, or Mark Tuthacker at 859-294-0030. See the website at spendthrift.com. I want to talk about my Lubricin and Reborn, two products that were developed by Dr. Steve Alday. And they make Lubricin for people, and I use it. Keeps me moving. And they're two products that I happen to believe in. And they're endorsed, both of them endorsed by many owners, trainers, and veterinarians. And both, incidentally, they're all natural. They're test-free. You don't have to worry about it. Lubricin sustains the integrity of joint fluids, and it can reduce the need for costly and painful acid injections and things like that. I use it, and I haven't had an acid injection lately. They one for humans, incidentally. You can get over at Old Friends, and it's got a nice flavor to it. You know, it doesn't taste bad at all. I'll tell you who uses it on a regular basis. People like Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendorfer and just Mike Maker, just to mention a few of them. Now, Reborn is a 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. It's safe and easy to use. It's a dietary supplement for horses of all ages. Start with foals, incidentally. It builds up the immune system, and it supports immune functions in horses of all ages, provide a quick recovery from physical challenges, and it's a great product. You can buy it. The best thing to do is go online and get it. Lubricin.com, Lubricyn.com, or Reborn, Reborne.com. I'll tell you some of the horses that are using it. Daredevil, who is going in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and was just purchased, incidentally, Windstar Farm just bought a half of him. So that's one of the most recent horses to use it. So go to those products, and they are great products. Well, the first foals by Alternation are due in 2015. His book was full in his first season stud, and you can find mares and folders covered in Keeneland's November breeding stock sale. Alternation is a multiple graded stakes winner. He's a millionaire. He's by champion sire Distorted Humor out of Alternate by Seattle Slough. Alternate won stakes, earned over $550,000, placed in 5 graded stakes. This is the famed Pin Oak stud family, founded by the Blue Hen producer Striker Pose. Striker Pose was featured, incidentally, in the October 18 issue of the Blood Horse. Family has already given us horses like Broken Vow. Broken Vow is the sire of 26 stakes horses this year, among them the Grade 1 stakes winner Rosalind, winner of Keeneland's Grade 1 Ashton Stakes and of over $600,000. Rosalind is going to be offered in the November 3 Facey Tipton sale. Boy, she's going to bring a pretty penny, I tell you that. Alternation and Broken Vow both stand at Pin Oak Stud, as do Cowboy Cal and Sky Classic. For more information, contact Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420, and see the website at pinoakstud.com. Well, we're going to start you a little early, John. This is John Nicholson, formerly of the Kentucky Horse Park for how many years, John?
Oh, Ursel, I don't know. I guess I was 17 years as the executive director, and then there for some years before that. So more years than I care to count.
What I know, you know, I never did know. What did you do before you went to the horse park?
Well, I worked really for right out of college for the Kentucky Department of Parks. And I went around and was the business manager at several of the state parks. So I had fun traveling Kentucky there for a while, and found out Lee Sholak needed a director of operations at around 1990. And I met him, and we got on well. And so he was the one who hired me to kind of look after things. And then he taught me the horse business from the horse park's point of view.
Uh-huh.
And so I worked for him for 4 or 5 years, and then went to Florida, where I with a partner, we put on Equitana USA, which was the big trade show that was in Louisville for a while, and then it was on the West Coast in Australia.
Did you go to Australia?
Oh, yeah. Well, I did not go to Australia. We were working on that when I came back to take the job at the horse park, but I was able to go to Germany and to several places like that where they would have these Equitana big trade shows. And that was good. You know, that was fun and a good education for me. And so when I came to be the executive director of the horse park, that kind of idea of what's out there in the world, I think, helped quite a bit and helped, you know, a vision of what the Kentucky Horse Park could be. And I remember when I got there for the job interview, I said something about, you know, we should do a World Equestrian Games here. And people looked at me and said, a world what? And so that's what led to the horse park odyssey.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly expanded under you out there. I know that.
I want to interrupt for a second.
Okay. Is big trouble.
Here comes Millie. Hide the pretzels.
I want to thank you officially for everything you have done for us. You are Mr. Horse Park, and we miss you desperately. You made it into an international venue. Everybody knows about it.
Exactly.
This is our Amelia.
It is the most amazing. You are a special man.
Are you all related?
No. I barely know him.
Exactly.
I can tell.
Thank you, Millie. Amelia Fouillon there. Thank you, Millie.
Very nice, Millie. Well,
thank you much.
Mr. Horse Park.
Right.
Thank you so much because now we are internationally known. Everybody around the world knows the Horse Park, and it's because of you.
It is true. I'm glad you came by to say that.
Well, it is.
And absolutely
whoever
true.
Whoever is going to fill your shoes is going to have a very hard time.
You don't owe me money or anything. You don't have to say all this stuff.
You owe her. She owes you. You owe her now.
I'm in deep now.
Absolutely.
There'll be a bill in the mail.
I tell you what. Is there anybody in this world like Amelia?
No, I don't think so.
And I can't. What would this training center be like without her? I can only
a lot duller.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, what a
she's a sweetheart.
What a sweetheart to drop by.
Yeah.
Always funny. Always fun.
Well, I wish we could get her to come out of her shell. You know.
You're right.
Oh yeah, that would do. She comes out of her shell. I'm hot.
She's so shy and reticent.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Kind of a wallflower.
Oh Lord. Listen, I got a top of the hour here. I'm looking at a break. We'll get right back to you, John.
Sounds good.
I think I am. Yeah. Edina Springs is offering 21 in full mares and 2 weanlings in the opening session of Keeneland's November breeding stock sale. This is a quality consignment, a book one consignment from the nation's leading breeder in 10 of the last 11 years. 21 mares, 17 of them under the age of 9, 11 won are placed in stakes by such sires as Pulpit, Mr. Greeley, First Samurai, Hard Spun, Kitten's Joy, Medalla Doro, Distorted Humor, Unbridled Song, Lemon Drop Kid, all from distinguished stakes families. 8 and fold to Awesome Again, 6 and fold to Point of Entry, 4 and fold to Go Sapper, 2 and to Macho Uno, and 1 to Fort Larned. As an added bonus, all are offered with a no-return season to one of the top stallions at Edina Springs. Just check the bottom of the catalog page for the season, which comes with the purchase of that individual. The 2 winnings are colts by Awesome Again out of a young daughter of AP Indy, that's a half-sister to a champion, and a colt by Malibu Moon out of a mare that placed in 2 graded stakes. Book 1, Barn 5, Tuesday, November 4. Then go to Book 2, Barn 27, Thursday on November 6th, for more of the same. Don't miss this rare opportunity to purchase a quality individual from the nation's leading breeder in 10 of the past 11 years, Edina Springs. For more information, give the farm a call, 859-987-1798.
TSPN Sports Radio 1300, WLXG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
Well, I believe you can. Winner of the 2012 running of the Classic Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks in foal from a February 19 cover to the nation's number one ranked sire, Tappet, is hip number 170, selling Monday, November 3 at Fasey Tiffin. She's in barn 3. Believe you can. One graded stakes at Belmont as a two-year-old. Won the Kentucky Oaks at three and stakes again at four. She won eight of her 14 starts, six stakes, and earned over $1,280,000. Believe You Can is one of two Kentucky Oaks winners by Gone West, Top Sun, Proud Citizen, and her first four dams are graded stakes producers. She is consigned by her breeder, Brereton C. Jones, Airdrie Stud Agent. Then it's to Keeneland, where on Friday, November 7th, the same consigner is offering seven well-bred weanlings raised on the same land that produced runners like Believe You Can. Six are by Stallion Standing at Airdrie Stud, two by Haynesfield, a grade one winner and millionaire by Sprightstown, two by Majestic Perfection, a leading freshman sire. He's got 14 two-year-old winners in his first crop, had one again his 14th yesterday, two stakes placed, one of them at Belmont, the other at Santa Anita. And two from the first crop by grade one winner and millionaire Creative Cause. One of those is a half-brother to a graded stakes winner of over $885,000. The other is a second foal out of the dam of Lindy. And Lindy is placed in the Astoria Stakes at Belmont this year as a two-year-old. Rounding out the consignment, a colt by the multiple graded stakes winner Desert Party. He's the son of Street Cry. See them in barn 39 for more. Call Airdrie Stud at 859-873-7270 and see the website at airdriestud.com. All righty, well, we're starting the second hour now of Horse Tales, and I have John Nicholson with me, for many years was the director of the Kentucky Horse Park. And he retired just a couple of, four or five months
April
ago?
April 30th, whatever that was.
Well, you I got the date round.
I can't do the math. I know the date. Forever I'll remember the date. But yeah, April. I just can't remember today's date.
Well, I know the feeling. Were you looking forward to that retirement
date? Yeah. It was a great run and loved it. But, you know when it's time. And I had a long career there and with the state. And so it was time to do some other things. And so this has been an interesting kind of new life. It's been a little bit of an adjustment when you're used to being someplace every day, and now you don't have to be.
Yeah,
that's a different kind of feeling.
Yeah. And well, what have you been doing? Since
wait a minute. Can I ask a question about the horse park before you go?
Sure, Jackie.
Before you move on.
All right.
What about Altec? What's his name? Dr.
Pierce Lyons.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I have nothing but good feelings about Altec.
Right.
And, how lucky we are that they came into our world. Of course, they've been such an important part of the community. They support the arts. They support, it's just a corporate citizen. That's the example of what a corporate citizen can be. And Dr. Lyons, we got these World Equestrian Games, for example, and we were like the dog that caught the car. He said, now we got him. Now how are we going to do this?
Yeah, right.
And enter Dr. Lyons, who clearly grasped the vision and not only got it, but he added on to it. And kind of an international citizen like Dr. Lyons and Mrs. Lyons gave the World Equestrian Games a soul and a spirit that perhaps it wouldn't have had otherwise. So I'll always be grateful to them for the role they played at the Kentucky Horse Park. And as you know, Jackie, many of the cool things that happen there now happen at the Altec Arena.
Exactly.
Which is, I'm really grateful that arena bears that company name. And certainly in the years I was there when we did all that, we had a wonderful working relationship, and I'm sure that'll continue.
I'm sure it will.
Did he help get the National Horse Show?
Yes, he absolutely. He was Altec was a big part of that. That was a long effort. That show had been in Madison Square Gardens
for years,
forever and ever.
100.
And some of Michael's movie star friends would go to that, and then that would start the social season in Manhattan. So that was a big coup. A really big coup when we were able to get them from New York to come here, and I think they're here for a long, long time. And once again, Altec was right in the middle of that.
Wow. Yeah, I can remember being a little girl. That was what you thought about.
Yeah.
If saddlebreds were Louisville and Rock Creek, and Hunter Jumper people, it was all about the McClay and the National Horse Show. That's just
that's right.
Phenomenal.
But they would have saddlebreds up in New York too, and coaching, and it was, and, you know, it was a spiffy deal. You wore tuxedos and it kicked off the social scene. It was a big deal, and it kind of, you know, it's not easy to put on a horse show in the middle of downtown New York, so they had its difficulties. So I was glad that we were able to persuade them to come here, and it has turned out to revive this really great tradition. It's the oldest horse show in America.
Yeah, that's wonderful, because it was such a big deal, and then it kind of slipped.
Mm-hmm.
And to get it here and give it another start is just phenomenal.
Yeah, and it starts this week. And I'm actually going to be out there doing some things for some people I'm working with.
Going to let you work the jumps or something? And
yeah, they'll find something I'm able to do. Surely they can find something.
You're glutton for punishment.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm going to find the management team out there and find everything in the world to complain about.
Well,
I got some pent up frustration over the last 17 years.
You've been listening to them all this time.
That's right.
That's funny.
There's no toilet paper in the bathroom. I'm gonna find a list and just follow them around.
Well, they're forewarned anyway.
That's right. Yeah. They know it's coming.
That's funny. Is that your most no toilet paper in the bathrooms? Was that your
that's
number
on
one?
The that's on the list of the ones that that people would make me aware of
over the years.
Yeah, so I mean,
that's
always
funny.
Well, you have to go to the top, you know, to complain about things like that.
That's right. you got that right.
Oh,
so
that's funny.
So it's my turn now.
Oh, yeah. Well, you haven't answered me. What are your future plans? Well, I know somebody like you is not going to sit around.
No, the fun thing about this, and I think Michael could testify to it. When at this point, you can do what you want to do and do it with the people you want to do it with. And so I'm working on some projects and doing some consulting with people in Kentucky and then people outside of Kentucky. And I happen to be spending a lot of time in Virginia these days. It's probably a principal client at the Virginia Horse Center in Lexington, Virginia. It's interesting because the Virginia Horse Center is a horse competitive facility. It's nice. It had some, always struggling, just like the Kentucky Horse Park did for years until it got its legs. And so they're kind of at that stage. But you drive on Interstate 64 to Lexington, Virginia. Mm-hmm. So you're going from Lexington to Lexington.
Yeah.
And not far from, it's Rockbridge County. Inside the county is Natural Bridge in Virginia. Very close to Lexington is Richmond.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there's Winchester. And it's like I told somebody, it's like a Seinfeld episode. you feel like you're in a bizarro world.
Bizarro world.
I'm in Lexington.
Funny.
It's a university town, and it's got a nice horse facility. And, real close is Stanton.
Yeah.
And all these places. So it feels very familiar and wonderful people. I've become involved, Ursula, also in the racing scene with a group of people I'm involved with that I met through the Horse Center. Virginia's had some challenges with getting racing going and Colonial Downs. I know this sounds unfortunately typical sometimes of our industry there. Tracks are fighting with the HBPA, and so they canceled the race meet this year. Sometimes things have to get bad before they're going to get really good. And so I've been drafted by some people who have a leadership role in Virginia racing, and hopefully we're going to get that fixed. And it's important. The great tradition of racing in Virginia. Virginia was our great grandfather. It's where we came from.
Yeah.
And there just needs to be a viable horse industry there, and racing industry, and equestrian industry. And so I'm working with them, some and some other people around here. So it's like I said, the fun part is you can do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And with you, and with who you want to be with. Yeah. That's what I'm enjoying now.
Well, what is it? What is the facility now in Lexington? What is it look like? What is it?
In Virginia, it
physically.
Is, yeah, physically, yeah. It's very, very, very nice indoor arena, and it was built in the 1980s.
Uh-huh.
Somewhat modeled after the Kentucky Horse Park, except it doesn't have the museum and the visitor center and those type of things. But it sits on about 600 acres. It's beautiful.
That's big. It,
right in the mountains. It's very picturesque. They have about 700 stalls, very well-constructed barns. They really, it, you could tell it was designed by horsemen.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stalls.
Wow. Yeah. And you could, they, a lot of big things have happened, and I know a lot of big things are going to happen again.
Do they have any kind of tracks or anything?
They do not at the Virginia Horse Center, and as you know, in Virginia, steeplechase racing is still the big deal.
Yeah.
And what they do is to have, really, you know, there's Colonial Downs, and then the other tracks are really for 3 and 4 day meets.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And that's the kind of racing that I think is kind of characteristic of Virginia and something that is cool. And
they have a season, don't they? Because you get the steeplechase times, and you go from one to one to one.
That's it, exactly. A good circuit.
And, yeah, circuit.
A good circuit with steeplechase and flat racing, and it's it's certainly plenty enough for a viable industry. Yeah. And they've just got their stuff to be worked out among the people. And once again, the horses are always great. It's the people that we got to get straightened out a little bit, and we're working through that. And that's kind of stimulating, and it's a problem that needs to be solved. And I think it's
have to work with the government, I guess.
Yes, and I go from the Commonwealth of Kentucky to the Commonwealth of Virginia,
out of the frying pan into the fire.
But there's two sides to that. Sometimes that can be really difficult, but other times, if you get everybody on the marching to the same drummer, then government can do good things there. And they've got a racing commission there that means to do the right thing and trying to sort all this out. And so whenever we think we have problems here, and there's a challenge here and there, Kentucky's in pretty good shape compared to some of our
now are they states. Going after tourists like the horse park? Or are they just for steeplechase racing and shows and that kind of stuff? What direction?
Well, I think it's a yes to both of those. There's in Lexington, there's a really rich history. It's Washington and Lee and VMI, Virginia Military Institute. And it's got a horse tradition. There are a lot of horse people there, a lot of different breeds. So I think they're trying to create that kind of atmosphere, just like has happened at the Kentucky Horse Park over the years, and then kind of blend that into the great character of that area.
Let me ask you, what's the population of Lexington, Virginia?
No, that's a good question. It's probably about a fourth of what Lexington, Kentucky is.
Here at the horse park, you draw a lot on local people for volunteers. For the High Hope, and I did that for years and that kind of stuff. Are they going to do some of that?
It's funny. We were in the cutest, neatest little village called Middlebrook, which is in Rockbridge County. And there's a group of about a dozen horse farm owners there that have come together. And they're all women. And they are wanting to lead the charge, Jackie, of what you're talking about, of being kind of the vanguard of the volunteers. And really, there's a lot of horse shows already at the Virginia Horse Center, and have been for many years, that have a volunteer base. But I think they're ready to take a big step forward, and just like you and a lot of other people, to kind of adopt that place as their own.
Well, Betsy Fishback.
She wonderful?
Oh, I mean, she's just my hero.
Yeah, she was was and will always remain in our hearts the patron saint of the energy of volunteers. And she was wonderful. Well, that's the kind of person, the kind of people that are now attracted to the Virginia Horse Center.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So you're trying to get all these people together to do what?
Well,
what's the bottom line?
To make all the horse shows there better, to create more energy with the horse shows, more personality, and more entries. And then to create some new things. And there's already, it reminds me of what the Kentucky Horse Park was when, in the mid 90s, when we knew we had something good, but we knew the potential was there to be so much greater. And so that's what everybody's doing, trying to create new big events and energize the horse industry in that part of Virginia and everywhere in Virginia for that matter.
I know when the Kentucky Horse Park first opened, you know, it looked like for several years that was just going to be a white elephant.
Well, that's a funny thing. The person who called it a white elephant was Governor John Y. Brown.
Yeah.
And he called it that in his first State of the Commonwealth. He said, well, one of the first things we got to do is to sell that white elephant, the Kentucky Horse Park.
Yeah.
And so that made folks mad. And, you know, to this day, he said, well, that appeal to people's pride was the smartest thing. But he wrote me a letter it was the fall before I left. And total surprise. And it was the nicest letter, saying that, in fact, the Kentucky Horse Park is not a white elephant. And congratulated all of us on our efforts. And he and I have become good friends. And he's been...
After you got the letter.
Anybody who writes a letter like that's my friend. But he is actually... Governor Brown is now a big supporter of the Kentucky Horse Park, so we'll forgive him for that white elephant remark.
There you go. Well, we all make mistakes.
That's right. Okay. That's right.
Well, let me take a little break here. Last Saturday, Keeneland, the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run Stakes was won by Taurus, a 3-year-old filly, by Flatter. Taurus dominated the field of 11. It's won by 9 lengths after posting fractions of 22-2, 44-4, 108-4, and 121-1. Bred by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dill Schneider, sold for $90,000 as a yearling at Keeneland, Taurus has won 3 of her 4 career starts. Broke her maiden at Aqueduct and her only started 2 by over 11 lengths. And then she won the Wide Country Stakes at Laurel in her first start this year. She's one of 10 2014 stakes winners by Flatter. And did you see that first-time starter by Blame win her debut at Gulfstream on October 18th? I hope I can pronounce her name here. It's Al Kazaliri. Oh. Broke dead last in the field of 11, overcame her name, circled the field, and won going away by 3 to become the 6th first crop winner by Blame. Her win was at a mile and a 16th, and just like her sire, distance not going to be any problem. Breeders' Cup Classic winner Blame, like Flatter, stands at Claiborne Farm. For more on the Claiborne stands, call Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252 and see the website at claibornefarm.com. Want to talk about my good friends Hill and Reagan Parker. They're in the real estate business, been in the real estate business for 13, 14 years now. And they're horse people, and they know what horse people want, and what, you know, they help you sell your farm. They're really nice people to do business with. And, of course, if you're looking for a horse farm, they understand what you need. And they've got a great listing. They've got property in Fayette and Bourbon and Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, Clark County. Outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices. And they're just wonderful people to do business with. They've got a place right up the road here from the horse park. I mean from the training center here. 463 acres. It's world class. Got a nice place over on Mount Horeb, 33 acres over there, surrounded by Castleton Lions and Betts Thoroughbreds and Penn Farm. You got good neighbors there. They just sold a nice place down in Bourbon County for Nina Horn, and Nina was raving about them. We saw her at the races the other day and said, boy, they're great people to do business with. So they kept me calm. And, you know, keeping Nina calm, that's an accomplishment right there. So anyway, they're great people to do business with. And let me give you the website. It's lexhorsefarms.com. And here's their phone number. It's 859-608-8039. Nice people. And if you want to sell your farm or you're looking for a farm, they're the people to go. It's Hill and Reagan Parker. Well, hip number 36 selling Monday, November 4th. Facey Tipton is weaning colt from the first crop by Hanson, undefeated champion, 2-year-old of his year, and a son of the champion sire, Tappet. Pope McLean Crestwood Farm Agents handling the colt for his breeder, Kendall Hanson, Dr. Kendall Hanson, I should say. He is the first foal out of a young winning Grand Slam mare that's a half-sister to a multiple graded stakes winner. Then on Tuesday, number 4, Keeneland, go to Barn 1 to see 2 more Hanson weanlings, plus youngsters by Malibu Moon, Kitten's Joy, Tuba Union Rags. McLean family has raised more than 250 stakes horses at Crestwood Farm. They do it the right way at Crestwood. Also, take a look at hip number 43 at Keeneland, a young breeding prospect with a beautiful pedigree. She's by Fleet Alex. She's a half-sister to three stakes winners, including a grade one winner and millionaire, and also to three stakes producers. There are nine black type horses under the first dam. Then on Thursday, November 6th, the same consigner is offering three more Hanson weanlings, plus youngsters by Kitten's Joy, two by the Factor, fast horse there, Macho Uno, Warrior's Reward, congrats. You find them in barn 34. For more information, call Crestwood Farm, 859-252-3770, or see the website, crestwoodfarm.com. All right, I'm talking to John Nicholson. And John, you're not thinking about moving to Virginia, are you?
No, I'm a Kentuckian forever. And my two wonderful sons, one of whom's here with us, Chris.
Chris.
Are here. So as long as they're in school in Scott County, so certainly as long as they're here, I'm here.
Chris, big boys. He play football.
He has done that in the past, but he's going to be a military man before it's all said and done.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah.
Uh-oh. Well,
you
good
know
luck
what?
To you, my friend.
He's That's 15.
15?
Yes. Yep. He is a big boy. I mean, he looks like a Marine already.
Yeah, he sure does.
Yeah.
What branch are you going into, Chris?
Marines.
In the Marines. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad he's on our side.
Yeah. That's the truth.
I'm not going to mess with him, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, I can't say that, but I don't want him to think he can whoop me. But
well, I'm sure he can, but we'll move right along.
Yeah.
Yeah. My money's
He didn't hear that.
Yeah.
I have one more question about the Lexington place, Lexington, Virginia. Uh-huh. Do you have a steeplechase course?
There's not a steeplechase course on the Virginia Horse Center property. It's got a great 3-day event course,
great
horse trials, because it's got really good character for undulating ground,
and
so making a steeplechase course from that kind of course was decided, well, let's go with what we have. But as you know, steeplechase racing is really, really still very strong in Virginia, and so I'm learning a lot. You know, we of course did the High Hope and still do here, but I'm learning a lot about the steeplechase world. You know, really wonderful people in Virginia, just like there are here, that mean well, that are good owners and breeders, and you know, trying to do the right thing. And many of the, I mean, you would recognize a lot of the names there because they are here for the sales. And was working with, had a good meeting with D.G. Van Cleef, for example.
Yeah. I haven't seen Danny in forever.
It was wonderful seeing him.
What a nice guy.
Gentleman.
Yeah.
True gentleman. And he's been kind of drafted. He's on the Virginia Racing Commission now, and all that experience that he had. And he's an example. Ernie Orr, who's bought and sold at Keeneland for many years, is the chairman of the board at the Virginia Horse Center. The Virginia Horse Center, by the way, is going to be going to sponsor the opening party for all the exhibitors and everything at the National Horse Show.
Oh, wow. Wonderful.
So it's kind of the Horse Center's way of reminding everybody that they're one of the leading facilities.
Yeah.
Certainly like the Kentucky Horse Park, but they deserve to be named in the same breath as some of the great equestrian places in the United States and in North America, like, you know, Wellington and Spruce Meadows. And
yeah.
What about Tryon? What's going on down there?
Boy, there's a lot going on down there. Tryon, North Carolina, the same people that really built Wellington into this winter equestrian facility are building a remarkable facility there in Tryon, North Carolina. I've been there once, and I'm told that even since I've been there, they continue to build. But it's pretty spectacular.
Well, this guy that's got the money apparently says he's going to make a Wellington out of it.
Yes,
so you don't have to go to
it's
Florida.
Mark Bellissimo and a group of partners. And they built Wellington for the winter, and then everybody came to the Kentucky Horse Park during the summer, and I think they're going to be at Tryon maybe in the spring and the fall. And and hopefully something like that will create again the kind of circuit that ultimately is healthy for the equestrian mm-hmm. industry.
How far is Lexington now from the Colonial Downs?
It is about, and I'm still learning my Virginia geography, but I'm going to say it's about 2 hours.
That's that far.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's about two hours.
Well, what are they going to do with that facility? You know, I mean,
well, that's the million-dollar question, and that's what some of the folks that I'm fortunate enough to be involved with are trying to work out.
Yeah,
and it's a beautiful track without a racing license right now.
Yeah,
and so that's kind of how dysfunctional is that. So I think there's going to be some negotiations and maybe some offers for purchase. Mm-hmm. And one of the formulas, for example, that could work on things like Colonial Downs that need to be preserved. And then you think of some of the great tracks, that there are opportunities to do conservation easements in the same way that we do with our farms,
right.
With PDR type programs
idea.
That can provide immediate cash. And that immediate cash can not only saving these facilities sometimes as historic places, so that they're not turned into shopping centers, but then you're giving them a cash infusion to do the things necessary to fix up. So that's one of the models. That's an interesting model that is being examined,
mm-hmm.
and you could apply that kind of formula in a lot of different places.
Yeah.
And so and the idea that then these places become part of the community, and that the pari-mutuel wagering becomes almost charitable gaming that benefits the community, and in a sense, it's a smaller version of a Keeneland model.
Yeah.
Now, Keeneland is a for-profit business, we know, but it's always had an attitude that it belongs to the community, and it's going to make not only the industry better, but the place we live better.
Yeah, well, they donate a lot of money to charity.
They do, and so
bundles.
That some would say that is a good future model for racing and racetracks,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's every place is different and every situation's a little different, but that kind of philosophy I think can play an important role as trying to as racing adjusts around the country of finding a new model that works.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you more question.
Oh, I got one.
Well, go
first.
Ahead. Go ahead.
Well, please don't fight.
I always
lose. Fight when everybody leaves.
Okay.
how far is it from here to there in miles and time wise? Because you're on the interstate.
Yeah, it's 360 miles. It's about, well, depending on how you drive,
right?
You can do it for anywhere from 5.5 to 6.5 hours.
Is that right?
And it's Interstate 64, Lexington
all the way.
To Lexington, so 64, all the way. the whole way, and it is a. I mean, it really is it's a bit of a long drive, but it's a beautiful drive through not only eastern Kentucky, but then the mountains of West Virginia and Virginia. It's just gorgeous. And this time of year,
man. But it sounds like, if you wanted to take a vacation, that's the quickest way to get to Virginia.
It is. You can do a flight to Charlotte and then to Charlottesville, for example, or to Roanoke. And I've done that a couple of times. But I'll tell you the history there. Chris and Colin and I went to, and the first time I had done it, went to Monticello.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Over
there.
Fall break.
Yeah.
And wasn't that fascinating? I mean, you could just spend a
his
day.
His clock. That he had a clock and a clock that was, a week-long clock?
It was a week-long clock, the days of the week and the time of the day, and it was done by weights.
Yeah.
And he had the whole thing figured out, but then the weights hit the floor.
Yeah.
On Sunday, so he had to cut a hole in his floor.
So, it went through the hole.
Yeah, so Sunday was in the cellar.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Come back out.
That's pretty neat.
Remarkable.
And they were all great horsemen, back then. And so there's that connection. Then we went to Washington and Lee to the place where Robert E. Lee is buried, who was mm-hmm. the president there,
Yeah.
And they have a great grave site for Traveler, his horse. Who was his horse, not only during the war, but after the war. And it was a big deal for the students. They always were looking after Traveler. And Traveler, was still alive when, the general passed away. And they have his grave site there.
Yeah.
And we were there. They had, carrots and apples that people stopped by there to pay tribute. So it's a cool area and a beautiful area. And it's you know, when I'm on 64 and I'm driving to either Lexington, I feel like I'm going home.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
That's great. Right. Yeah.
I got one more question for you, and I'll let you go. What's your brother Nick doing there?
Oh, now, Nick, unlike me, Nick truly understands how to retire.
Oh, there you go.
I think his golf handicap is probably getting pretty low. Now, he'll not appreciate me saying that because that means he might have to start giving people some strokes. But
okay.
he's doing very well. Nick stays active in the industry as far as, he remains a leader on several subjects, including racetrack safety, which and other things that he believes in.
Good. Yeah.
And, he'll stay active and he's still active as he wants to be.
Yeah.
I think at Keeneland and within industry, but he's doing very well.
Well, that's great.
Tell him I said hello.
I will.
Joe
Brown as well is doing well. And Susan and Jessica are doing good.
Great.
Our nephew Jamie, and I was published his, I don't know what book now.
We had him on the show a couple of times.
Yeah.
A book or two.
Yeah.
The first two books that he wrote we had him on.
Yeah. I don't think on the latest one, I'm not sure I've got my autographed copy yet. I'm going to have to speak to him about that.
Do you know the name of it?
Oh, no, the one he's working on now, I don't. The first one, was the history of the Derby, and then Never Say Die was the second one. The third one, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say, so I'll just,
We've got those first two.
You've got the first two.
Yeah.
Gave them to us. So that
unlike you, I think he autographed them for us.
Okay, there's going to be big trouble now.
So. All right. Well, John, thank you for coming in. Appreciate it.
Well, I've got so good to see you.
Details to end up the show with.
Sure.
But it's been fun talking to you.
And if you've got any more announcements and stuff
anytime,
like that, stop by.
We're you're always welcome. Just come walking in the door. We know who you are. We'll sit down and announce whatever you want to announce.
Okay. Well, I was afraid. I'm being a friend of Amelia's. I didn't know if I was going to be welcome or not.
Amelia's a friend of everybody, so you're all right.
She is a friend of all mankind.
Yes.
So, it's good to see you all. Thank you.
Good to see you,
good
John.
Good to see you.
Nice meeting you, Chris.
You too.
Come back. Thank you, John. Well, Keeneland's November breeding stock sale starts on November 4, and in the catalogs you may find weanlings by and mares and foals with the covers of First Defense and Mizzen Mast. First Defense is the sire of, in his first crop, the brilliant Close Hatches. Winner this year, the Grade 1 Apple Blossom, the Grade 1 Ogden Phipps, the Grade 1 Personal Ensign, and the Grade 2 Azari. Close Hatches is the likely favorite for the upcoming Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Distaff. She has also won the Grade 1 Mother Goose, the Grade 1 Cotillion, and the Grade 2 Gazelle. And she's earned over $2,707,000. Mizzen Mast has had 7 Grade 1 winners, 2 this year. The most recent is a 2-year-old. And that is Full Mast, and he's an undefeated winner of the Group 1 Grand Criterium at Longchamp. He has also sired the winners of 3 Breeders' Cup races, the Weanling or Mare in Foal 2, either First Defense or Mizzen Mast. Well, just might be a good investment, so take a good look. For more information, get in touch with Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, the top price yearling at the opening session of the Fasig Tipton October sale was $370,000 for a colt raised over at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. The youngster was out of the stakes place Crocodile Tough, a full sister of the stakes winner Snake Poop. The yearling, his dam, and his dam's stakes-winning full sister, and a majority of the black type runners in the colt's pedigree were all raised on Macaulay products at Crestwood Farm. They raise a lot of runners at Crestwood, over 250 stakes horses and counting. As a reminder, the cool top price colt and the top price filly at this year's Keeneland September sales were also raised on products from Macaulay's. Now this, to date, runners raised on Macaulay products have won 163 stakes races. 86 of them were graded stakes and 20 of them were grade one. At the races, at the sales, the record speaks for itself. Call Mike Warren and David Longmire at 859-873-3333. Talk to them about the Macaulay products and the free services that come with every bag of feed you purchase. See the website at MacaulayBros.com. Are you always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, that's where it is all about the horse. All right, the Daily Racing Form Sunday edition is now on your newsstands. I know because I've already picked mine up. Got some nice articles in there. One of my favorite writers, Joe Hoveday, is writing on exercise riders of top horses, including Zenyatta's exercise rider. And, Steve Willard is his name. And, boy, he is a good writer. Jay Priven's got a good article on there on shared belief. John Sparkman is writing about past Claiborne Farm stallions, successful stars over there, including the top star over there right now, Warfront. You've got past performances from Churchill, which opens tomorrow, Belmont, Gulfstream Park, Woodbine, Thistle Downs, and of course, the thing to do is the breeding edition. What you need to do is sign up for the Daily Racing Form breeding edition. Check it out at drf.com/breeding, and it's Daily Racing Form. Well, how can you talk about it other than say it's the racing's Bible? I've been getting it for low these many years. Started reading the Daily Racing Form back when Hoop Jr. won the Derby, for crying out loud. Haven't missed reading it since. So it's a great pick it up, and they've got some great writers, including Jay Hoveday, in there. And take a look at it. It's really worthwhile. It's pick it up on your newsstands, and when you go to the races, and got more information there, and God only knows that you know what to do with. All right.
Sally Van Services have been in business for more than 60 years, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All righty. Well, I've got Steve Moody with me. Steve is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which is published by Bloodstock Research Information Services. You can pick it up. Go to brisnet.com, BRISNET.com. I think they sell them out of King. Wherever they sell a Daily Racing Form, you can probably get one right there. Best place to go is the website, though. And last day of Keeneland, I kind of hate to see it close. How you doing today, Steve?
Doing all right, Ursula. Yeah, getaway day today, so meet came and went pretty quick.
It sure did, didn't it? Yeah. Well, I got out there a couple of times. Had a nice time. Didn't lose any money. Broke even. Got a couple of free meals. I'm ahead. So go. Well, who's going to win the Fayette today?
Well, we got a good group in the Fayette, Ursula. A field of eight. Going a mile and an eighth, the 3-year-olds and up. Fast and Firm is track condition, no scratches. And I kind of had a tough time separating the ones at the top. I finally settled on the Claiborne Dill Snyder horse departing. He's kind of been a little bit up and down, but he bounced back out of the out of a poor effort in the Whitney, grade one, of course, came back with a runner-up finish in the homecoming classic at Churchill last time. Came out of that race with a nice work, and I'm going to give him a slight edge today over the Zito runner, Stefan Oatsy. This one has gone a while since his last win, but he ran the Jockey Club Gold Cup last time out. Pretty good field in there. Didn't have a very good trip that day. He still managed to beat over half the field despite that. And I think he's a little bit of a wake-up candidate here today. He's 3-1 on the morning line. And Julian Leperoux got the mount for Nick Zito. The 5-horse Call Me George. This is a horse that I think is worth looking at a price. He's got good speed and has to carry that a little bit further today. But if he should happen to shake loose in this group, he could prove tough to run down. I think he's worth taking a look at if he ends up going off at that around that 12-1 morning line mark. So take a look at him when you get close to post time. But we're going to give the edge to the Claiborne horse departing, and we'll go 2-3, 2-3-5 in the bet.
Okay. How about the game tonight? What do you think?
Well, I kind of think it's going to be more ugliness, like kind of on the order of what we saw last week, I'm afraid. Mississippi State's, I think their defense is, their rush defense is outstanding. Their pass defense is a little suspect, but their offense has just been tremendous. They've just been putting up points in bunches this year, and I just don't know if we can slow them down. And their Heisman Trophy candidate, it's going to be a tough slog.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right. But anyway, but you know, they certainly showed a lot of improvement this year, so that's what we were looking for.
Yeah, they've there's no question about that, and they've still got. I mean, they've got today, and they've got four more after today. So we still got. Hopefully, we can grab one, and at least that'll get them bowl eligible. And maybe if they get that before the end of the year, maybe they can grab another one. So,
yeah, I don't think they can beat Georgia, but I think the other three are winnable.
Yeah, the Missouri game. Missouri's been real erratic. They went and won on the road. As a matter of fact, they've won 8 in a row on the road, which is almost unheard of in the SEC, but yet they turn around and lost at home to Indiana of all teams. So,
sisters of the poor. Okay, Steve. Well, thank you so much. It's been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, and as I said, go to brisnet.com to get your copy of that. Steve, we thank you, my friend.
All right, Ursula.
Talk to you later. Well, two winners of Breeders' Cup races stand at Shadwell Farm, Albertus Maximus and Invisor. Albertus Maximus won the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. He won the Grade 1 Dawn, that's a Gulfstream, set a new track record for a mile in Del Mar's Windy Sands, placed in 3 other graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Goodwood, retired with earnings of $1,328,230. First foals, yearlings this year. Invisor won the Grade 1 $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic, defeating Estella Field, Bernardini, Premium Tap, Giacomo, Brother Derek, George Washington, Lava Man, Perfect Drift, Laurie Run, Flower Alley, and others. Won 9 Grade 1 stakes, Horse of the Year on 2 continents, Horse of the World at 4, earned $7,804,070. Invisor is the sire of nearly 10% stakes horses from starters and of numerous hard-hitting winners from coast to coast. For more on the stallions at Shadwell Farm, contact stallion manager Ken Barnes at 859-224-4585 and see the website, shadwellfarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigree reports on more than 2 million foals for a low annual cost? Then Brisnet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at brisnet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile. The APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit brisnet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why new generation is using APR Online.
Revolutionary, a handsome multiple graded stakes runner well over $1 million with a great pedigree, going to stand his first season at stud next year at Windstar Farm. Revolutionary won the Grade 1 Louisiana Derby, the Grade 3 Withers, the Grade 3 Pimlico Special, ran third in the Kentucky Derby after a nightmare trip, ran second in the Grade 2 Oaklawn Handicap, and he earned $1,353,125. He's the son of champion Warpass, a Grade 1 winner of over $1,583,000, who stood but 2 seasons at stud before his untimely death. Warpass was well on his way to success at stud. Well, he had runners like Revolutionary and Grade 1 winner Jobber's Man. Revolutionary's Dam is the brilliant Run Up the Colors by AP Indy. Run Up the Colors won the Grade 1 Alabama, the Grade 1 Delaware Oaks. And there's so many graded stakes winners in Revolutionary's pedigree, one scarcely knows where to begin. Here are a few of them. Grade 1 winner, Little Bell. Grade 1 winner and Broodmare of the Year, Prospector's Delight. Horse of the Year, Mineshaft. Grade 1 winner, Thomas's Delight. Grade 1 winner, Mr. Sidney. English Champion, Flagbird. And under his first two dams, that's just scratching the surface. Revolutionary enters stud for $7,500. Due when a foal stands in nurses. He's eligible for Windstar's popular Dream Big program. So call Darren Fox, Sean Tuggle, or Kyle Wilson at 859-873-1717 and see the website, windstarfarm.com. All right. Well, Kentucky Bred Stakes winners over last weekend. This brought to you by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association in Toba and our good friend Chauncey Morris over there. And let's see, the Grade 2 Raven Run out at Keeneland was won by Taris. Taris is a three-year-old filly by Flatter. She won by 9, and she was bred by Claiborne Farm and Adele Dill Schneider. And, of course, Flatter, son of AP Indy, also stands at Claiborne Farm. The Ontario Fashion Stakes Grade 3 at Woodbine went to Native Bombshell. That's by another Claiborne Farm stallion. It's a four-year-old filly by Warfront, bred by B.D. Gibbs Farm and Fleetwood Bloodstock. The Grade 1 Grand National Hurdle Stakes at Far Hills went to Demonstrative, a seven-year-old gilding by exclusive quality, bred by Gainsborough Farm. At Keeneland, the Root and Riddle Dowager Stakes winner, White Rose, a four-year-old filly by Tappet, bred by J.S. McDonald. The Bowl Game Stakes at Belmont Park, North Slope won that. By another, that's another exclusive quality, bred by Darley. Harborview Farm Stakes at Hastings up in Canada, Modern won that. A four-year-old son of Tis Now led all the way to win another Darley bred. The Ruling Angel Stakes at Woodbine went to Cactus Chris. That's a filly by Cactus Ridge, bred by James. I should have let this one go. Pagliafito and Tom Keegan. I can handle Mr. Keegan. The other gentleman, it's good luck to him. The Bien Venendo Stakes at Turf Paradise went to Storm Power. It's a four-year-old by Tis Wonderful, bred by Brookfield Stud. The New Jersey Hunt Cup Stakes, also at Far Hills, went to Hot Rise. That's a gilding by Sultry Song, who stood over at Claiborne Farm also. And Hayes bred this one. He is a 10-year-old gilding. And he was just a sprint race here, 3.25 miles on the turf over the hurdles. And the Albuquerque Distaff Handicap went to Lady Contender. That's a five-year-old mare by Strong Contender, bred by LaDonna Hudson. A little light racing for stakes over the weekend. Well, the first foals by Dominus are you, weanlings, and opportunities will arise for you to see some at the Keeneland November sale. Take a good look, because Dominus was a runner. He won the Grade 2 Dwyer in what was just his fourth start. He won the Grade 2 Bernard Baruch in his first start on the grass. He also sprinted 7 furlongs and won 22-3. To win by over 5 lengths at Santa Anita, 122-2 to win by over 4 lengths at Saratoga. Dominus has won over 100 stakes winners, side by champion Smart Strike, and he's out of the graded stakes mare Quandrel by Lord of War. Stands at Spendthrift Farm, and he's eligible for their popular Breed Secure program. What that is, you breed, you sell. If you don't make a profit, you don't pay. Doesn't get any better than that. Also eligible for the Breed Secure program are the stallions Arch, 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 Awesome Patriot, Leah Son, Line of David, Patio Prado, and Temple City. So just call the farm and talk to Des Dempsey or Brian Lyle or Mark Toothacker at 859-2430 and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com. All righty. Well, they're running the Fayette Stakes out at Keeneland today. It was first run back in 1959. And Mr. H.E. Olson and R.D. Pruitt's Terra Firma won that. Kenny Church was the rider that day. And he won it as a four-year-old. He was by Kentucky Colonel, the son of Balladeer, stood over at Patch and Wilkes. So did Balladeer, as a matter of fact. And Terra Firma was, went to stud. He never did sign much of anything, but, you know, he was, he won that one anyway. He won some good races. He was a tough old racehorse. Choker won it, for Mr. Louis Lee Hagen a second in 1963. He was a double J, and Kenny Church rode that one too. Kenny was one of the leading riders around here for a long time. Wonder what ever happened to him. The first champion to win it was in 1965, and that was Old Hat. And she was by Boston Doge, a son of the Doge. And I'm trying to think where Boston Doge stood, but I, you know, I'm having a senior moment. I can't remember. The Doge, of course, stood over at Carla Thornton's Three Main Stud. And he was, you know, quite a successful horse as far as that goes. Stanley Conrad owned Old Hat, and C.C. Norman was a trainer. And he beat Lieutenant Stevens, by the way, who was a very nice kind of a horse himself. The second champion was Shoe Crew up in 1972, and she was a champion sprinter, bred by Tony Benjamin, and he had some partners in that. Johnny Rotz rode him, Bob Durnham trained him. Interestingly enough, is another tie-in to the original winner there. Shoe Crew was out of a Maribi, Kentucky colonel. So there, he came back to have some influence on the, her name as it was Witherite. And Witherite was a foal in 1958, and she won the Thelma Stakes down at the fairgrounds. And besides Shoe Crew, she produced a stakes winner named Pretty Nurse by Run for Nurse. Run for Nurse stood over at Hirschland Farm. Back when the boys all had that one, and she won the Clipsetta Stakes, which was, of course, down at Latonia. She was also the grand dam of a pretty good horse named Templar Hill by Temperance Hill, and Templar Hill won the King's Bishop. It was just a grade three race at that time. Won a bunch of other stakes. Placed in the Drone, which was grade one at that time, and the Pegasus, which was also grade one. And she was also the great grand dam of a pretty good stakes winner named Dream Extreme, and also of she was the grand dam of Nastique, daughter of Nascra, who stood at Forest Retreat Farm. And Nastique won the ladies' handicap. It was grade one. Won the Matriarch Stakes, which was grade one. Won the Delaware Handicap, which was grade one at that time. Won it twice, as a matter of fact. Won the Sheepshead Bay Handicap, grade two, and the Silver Bells Handicap, grade two. And she was a good producer. She was the dam of Thundercat and the Stormcat mare that won the Honeybee Handicap, a grade three race. And also of Nobo True, son of Broadbrush, was a major stakes winner in Japan. Unfortunately, Shoe Crew was not a good producer herself. She had some winners. Let's see, her first one, two, three, four, five foals were winners. And but that's all. I don't think she had much of anything after that. Well, she was a grand dam of a stakes winner named, Cupid, but they're not the Cupid that raced here. The waste raced out west, you know, but she had a very spotty record. One top race mare, but not much of a producer. But she was brilliantly fast. She was a champion sprinter. She ran, Shoe Crew won 18 of her 28 starts with 2 seconds and 3/3. Took her a while to win a stakes, placed in the Jasmine in her 4th starts. That was at Hialeah, and she was a 3-year-old at the time. The first stakes she won, interestingly enough, was right out here at Keenan when she won the Spinster, beating Viewpoise and Alma North. So she beat a couple of good ones that time in the Spinster out there, and then she won the New Year's Handicap down at Turf Paradise. She put up, what was that winning streak? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 straight wins, accumulating with the Vagrancy Handicap in New York at Belmont Park, and beating Wire Chief and Sycamore. And she kind of tailed off a little bit. All she did was compete in stakes, though, incidentally. She didn't win a stake until 1972. That was her four-year-old season, and she won the fall highweight handicap, picked up 131 pounds and beat Ice Capade, who was a pretty good stud horse, incidentally, Ice Capade. She came back in the Belle Dame. She ran third to Susan's Girl and Summer Guest. No disgrace there. Then she won the Fayette. Who'd she beat in the Fayette? Sensitive Music. Beat him by neck. Ran second in the Spinster to Number to Count. Champion filly there. Went out to California as a in 1972. This was the last two starts. Were out there last start of the year in the Las Flores Handicap, and she won that. Came back and won the Santa Monica Handicap. Won that by 14 lengths. And then she tailed off and didn't win after that. But anyway, she was a top race mare by Lieutenant Stevens at the Widowright by Kentucky Colonel. I tell you who Tony Benjamin bred that with was Bill Clark, bred that mare. Bill, Wild Bill from down at Midway, had a farm down at Midway. Bill was in the Air Force during World War II and had to bail out over one of those countries over there. One of those foreign countries.
Yeah.
And anyway, it was a prisoner of war for several years over there. And came through it all right, though. Nice guy. All right. Let's see what we're doing now.
Got 4 minutes.
What about the rest of my announcement?
All right. I'll let you have your lecture. Let me do this. Well, incidentally, I'll start off the announcements, by the way. We're on to regular time next week. They're playing down at in Missouri, so I think it's a 4 o'clock our time kickoff down there. Anyway, winners from the Thoroughbred Center this past week. We've had 9 winners of them. We've got 26 so far this month, and the trainers of those 9 winners were Wayne Mackey, Ted Lucas had one. Jimmy Cargan had one at Belterra. Chuck Peary won out at Keeneland. Of course, Chuck's over at Keeneland now, but this particular one, all but his last work were right here. Jimmy had another one at Mountaineer. That was on the 19th. You see, he had back-to-back winners. He had one on the 19th at Belterra, and then one on that same day at Mountaineer. Boy, he had to scoot back and forth, saddle those two. One at Cincinnati one day, that afternoon, and the other one at Mountaineer.
He can move.
Yeah, that Irishman can move it, can he? Tommy Short had a winner. Tommy's been doing pretty good here lately. Tommy Skinner had a winner. Jim Rankin, a good old boy from over Bourbon County, had a winner. And then yesterday, Eduardo Caramori. Was that yesterday? What's today? 25th? Yeah. Day before yesterday, Eduardo Caramori had one over at Indiana Downs. So that's 26 winners so far this month, 9 since last week's show. All right, Jackie, what do you need?
Your glasses.
Oh, where are yours?
I don't know.
Okay.
Tomorrow, Sunday, October 26th at 9 o'clock, Valley High Show Stables, down on Pinkard Pike in Versailles. It's Joyce Brinsfield is having a spooktacular Halloween jumper and fun show. Halloween party starts at 4 o'clock. Everybody is welcome to come. This weekend is the Certified Horsemanship Association International Conference. Today at the Horse Park, Oktoberfest horse trials today and tomorrow in the Hunter Jumper Complex. It's a 3-day. So today is cross country, tomorrow is stadium. Big, big, big fun, Central Kentucky Riding for Hope, Halloween Trail Ride and Use Tax Sale, Saturday, today. Oh, it's going on right now. You need to get out there. They opened up the Use Tax Sale already, but you can ride till 3, I think. Also today, Mounted Games Association is having a games. So then, Tuesday starts the National Horse Show 5-day Hunter Jumper event. Full array of Hunter Divisions, junior, amateur, owner jumpers, top open jumpers in the United States, around the world. It's the oldest horse show in the world. I think it's 125 or something. Used to be in New York. Fabulous show. Great history. It includes the McClay National Championship. wonderful, wonderful thing. You should get out there if you've never seen it. Just to say you've been. It's
you got about 30 seconds, baby.
Nah, Sunday, November 2nd, AKC Tracking Dog Test and Tracking Dog Excellent Test, and also Breeders' Cup.
All right. Well, we're on a regular time next week. Thanks to a late kickoff on the football. And
had a great interview. Thank you, John Nicholson.
Yeah, thank you,
that
John. Appreciate it. John's fun to talk to.
Yeah,
have to great get guy. His, have to get Nick on to see what his golf score is now.
Yeah, there you go. Don't bet money playing Nick at golf. That's what
okay.
It
is. Okay, well, we'll talk to you next week at 10 to 12. Bye-bye.